Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Friday, March 19, 2010, at 6:50 a.m. here on the left coast, pushing right with all my might, to keep it from falling off into the deep, what will the dim wits do? And by the way, I'm welcoming five new stations, WBXR in Huntsville, Alabama, WNVY, Pensacola, Florida, WELP, Greenville, South Carolina, KLNG, Omaha, Nebraska, and WCPC, Tupelo, Mississippi. And by the way, Mississippi, hello to my mother, sis, Lisa, and bro, Joe. So we'll try to help you understand the brain massage technique as we go along. To begin, understand that I am engaged in the rhetoric wars, in the struggle between conservatives and so-called progressives, and we're warring for the soul of America. A member of the resistance, fighting against the anti-revolution revolution that has been brewing in America, well, really back in the 20s and 30s, but it took hold in our culture in the 60s. Anyway, in the brain massage lexicon, the expression dimwits, D-E-M-W-I-T-S, refers to persons whose wits, which from my onboard computer dictionary refers to, quote, the intelligence required for normal activity, basic human intelligence, end quote. These wits are under the control of the ideology of the left, which has established the Democratic Party as their base. Hence, dim, as in Democrat, wits, as in wits, and that dim is a homophone of dim, D-I-M, and that is intentional, or in other words, virtually all puns you hear on this show are intended. Oh, yeah. I threw in another brain massage lexicon exclusive, didn't I? Democrat. I need to explain it. This is usually done to distinguish run-of-the-mill, relatively innocent dimwits from those on the left who are ideologically committed to the spirit of Antichrist and want to pull America out from under God. That is, those who are militantly trying to overthrow our culture of traditional American values that are rooted in Christianity, particularly in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Note, not that perversion of the gospel as it is expressed in the modern social gospel, but, you know, the one Patrick Henry was referring to when he declared before Congress assembled, this nation was built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, folks, I'll have to get on with the show, as they say, so we'll have to complete your orientation to the brain massage later on. However, I feel that I must warn some of the Christianettes out there who think Christians are supposed to be, you know, morally effeminate and politically and publicly effeminate, whose image of Christ is similar to what a Muslim man told me on our train ride from Moscow to Smolensk back in 1991. Jesus was a real softy, even effeminate, he said. And I informed that character he must have got his impression of Jesus from medieval guys who wore dresses and kept catamites, not from the Bible. By the time we discuss his famous rebuke against the hypocrites of his day, calling them whitewashed graves full of dead men's bones, vipers, and murderers, and the few times, by the way, that he went into the temple with a whip and drove out the money changers, and how he looked on the wicked hearted before him with anger. But it was when I described to this Muslim, sharing a compartment with me on that train ride from Moscow to Smolensk, when I described to him the coming of the Lord on his white horse, eyes ablaze with fiery wrath, his vesture dipped in blood. I'm serious, that poor, deluded Muslim fellow almost fainted. I'm not exaggerating. He kept muttering, I never hear this. That's not true. I never hear this. I held up the Bible that I was reading from, and I told him it had been written there long before that pedophile he calls Allah's prophet wrote his Quran. Now, that's one Muslim fellow who never met a real Christian before, but anyway, I just wanted to make certain we get off on the right foot. With all that is going down on the health scare scam, you might forget that we've got a problem over there in the Middle East. Iran is going nuclear, and Russia has decided to help them. American-Israeli relations are at a 35-year low. China is putting pressure on an already weak American economy. While the dimwits are slaughtering the Constitution in order to force their communism by stealth health bill into law, we might forget that America is not the only country having financial difficulties. In fact, Greece is collapsing economically while the state-dependent Greeks are screaming about an empty public trough. Now, MSM will tell you it's about a kid that got shot, but the Greeks will tell you it's about government not doing enough for the general welfare. Sound familiar? And yet Greece is totally Bismarcked. I agree with Mark Stein. Look at Greece and see the future of America's coming experiment with socialism. But of course, the Obama bots imagine they are superior, wiser, more enlightened, more capable than the Greeks. So, you know, when we do the socialism dance, aka communism light, well, we'll do it better. Wake up. It is already destroying us, and we have not even fully implemented it. But while the plan, Rahm Emanuel's brother, you know, Ezekiel Emanuel, he concocted the health reform plan, which puts in place the machinery that will politicize healthcare in America. He wrote it into his plan. Government will have the power of life and death decisions over our citizens. Oh, yeah. Dr. Ezekiel's cold and aloof, pragmatic language in which he says, in effect, we must weigh the worth of a man to justify the cost of his care. Are you listening? This man is on record in support of rationing health care. Oh, yeah. Made absolutely necessary, by the way, if the government's going to pay for it with your tax dollars, which necessarily is going to lead to the politicizing of health care. You have got to be crazy to allow these, Antichrist, anti-American counter-revolutionaries to politicize health care. Oh, my soul. Remember Reagan's cute quip when he was wheeled into surgery after he was shot? He said to the physician, quote, I hope you're Republican, end quote, with that grin of his. Well, you let these characters who are buying votes for their health care scam, twisting arms and even threatening people in shower rooms, you let these thugs get in control of your health care. And Reagan's little joke won't be so funny. With all that is going on with the communist takeover of health care, you might not be noticing that the sodomites are making an aggressive move right now to push their agenda down our throats. I mean, like cockroaches, you know, that feed in the darkness. They're all taking full advantage of the fact that conservatives are absorbed in fighting Obamacare, as we well should be. They are massing on our representatives. There are only a few representatives left, you know. Anyway, the sodomites are massing their efforts to convince representatives that conservatives no longer care about same-sex marriage issues. I'm not kidding you. You know, Lieberman is proposing legalizing bisexual behavior and homosexual behavior in the United States military. And to add insult to injury, these homosexual activists are being funded by taxpayer money. Oh, yeah. Now, with the focus on government takeover of health care, you might not be giving much attention to the fact that the gun grabbers are greedier than ever to make us defenseless against an Islamo-communist takeover of this country. So why am I bringing all of this out? Well, first of all, because I know that creatures of the night, lovers of darkness, scatter in the light. So turn them on, boys. Keep these evil deed doers in as much light as possible. It slows them down. Second, I know how devils operate. They are wily and clever, and often they push forward their more insidious evils while our attention is distracted by some other issue. But does that mean we ought not to keep our focus on the effort of Democrats together with their aides in the MSM? Marxist socialist media, to take over healthcare in America? Absolutely not. That happens to be the enemy to freedom that is immediately before us. And as any soldier will tell you, every battle comes down to the enemy that is directly in front of you. But don't let your immediate focus blind us to what is going on in the periphery. So, having taken note of the periphery, let us focus on the politicizing of healthcare in America. I've read the portions of the health bill to my listeners where that language clearly lays out provisions for what we call death panels and provides for taxpayer-funded abortion services, even to illegals, legally identified as aliens, by the way. I've read to you the language that mandates Americans buy health insurance whether or not they want it or believe they can afford it. That even mandates what must be in the policy they purchase. I mean, it mandates employers provide health care benefits to, or they'll have to pay a special tax. That Americans who have what the government considers a Cadillac health care plan, well, they're going to have to pay a special tax on top of that. And what is that penalty for owning good insurance? A tax that, by the way, the unions are exempted from. Now, is this fair, Obama? Now, someone says, hey, no one knows what's in that bill. In fact, Pelosi has recently said, we've got to pass it so people can find out what's in it. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking about the Senate bill number 3200. You know, the one that was published after it was voted on. And that brings me to another important point. We wonder if the real danger in this whole health care reform ruse is actually not in the process being used to rahm Emanuel it down our throats. 60% of Americans say they don't want it. So when I get back from the break, I'm going to shed some light on this whole process. We'll explain the slaughter rule. We'll talk about deeming, the so-called self-executing rule, and so on. Now, for new listeners, during the break, I ask you to call in and say lights on if you agree with me and lights off if you disagree. This began many years ago when I was doing a live show on radio and got excited and said, let's get the lights on out there. And several called into the station and excitedly said, the lights are on. And many used their cell phones to call in while driving and to say they were turning their headlights on their car as a statement that the lights were on. So naturally, I picked up on that and started encouraging folks to call into our listener response hotline to leave me a message of thumbs up or thumbs down on the show. And the way you do it is you call in and you say lights on for a thumbs up, and you say lights off for a thumbs down. You know, for thumbs down, get out of town. It's a fast, convenient way to check in and give me the listener response I so desperately need. I'm accustomed to speaking to live audiences, you know. And since I cannot do this show live, this is how I interact with my listeners, and it works out real well. By the way, the call is free. So you call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And by the way, tell me what city you're from and then leave your message. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages Directory.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, beloved brain masseur and spokesperson for God.
Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Freely you have received, freely give. We don't charge for the brain massage show, but that doesn't mean we don't have to pay to air them on the radio. Many have asked if they can help. Thank you. If you'd like to join them, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Any amount is welcome. It's time for the Brain Massage Show. Here comes your host, Jerry Scheidbach. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Let us complete your brain massage for today. By the way, for new listeners, the whole brain massage thing comes from my days as a college professor. I walked up on a group of students discussing my class, and I heard one of them say, "Here comes Mr. Scheidbach. It's time to get our brain massage." I thought that was cute. I inquired into it. And the students had come up with that because they felt my lectures were like having their brain massage, you know, working out the knots in their thinking. One student said it's more like a brain explosion, but I liked the brain massage thing, so I picked it up. Because, folks, I work hard to massage the knots out of the knot-headed lip anyway. It's time to complete your brain massage. I'm going to make a complicated, confused mess very simple for you to understand. Now, to do that, we will need to make certain you understand some basic things about how our representative system of governance works. So, bear with me if some of this is review for you. Ben Franklin was asked what sort of government the founders had given to America, and he answered, a republic if you can keep it. Not a democracy, by the way. In the founders' frame of reference, a republic meant we were governed by law and not by mob. The essential law of the land is the Constitution. It is the overarching law by which the validity of all other laws are determined. Everyone is under the law of the Constitution, including, of course, our president. We don't have a king around here, you know. Of course, you know, we have three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, and that these are separate and independent from one another. Now, we are talking particularly about the legislative part of our government, and this is the branch of government that creates laws. Now, lawmaking is in the hands of a group of legislators in this country who are elected to this office by the people they serve, and so they're called representatives. The legislature is divided into two chambers. One is called the House of Representatives, and the other is called the Senate. Each state elects two senators to the Senate, and then a certain number of representatives, we call them congresspersons, depending on the population of each state. So, a state with a larger population has a greater number of representatives in the House, but all states have an equal number of senators. The Constitution says that laws begin as a bill, which is a written draft of a proposed law. But a bill must be passed by a simple majority of the House and the Senate before it can be sent to the president, who may either sign it into law or veto it. If he vetoes the bill, it is returned to the Chamber of Commerce where it originated, and that chamber will decide whether or not to attempt to override the veto. To override the veto, the Constitution provides that it must be passed by 3/4 of each chamber, that is, the House and the Senate. If 3/4 of each chamber pass the bill again, well, then it becomes law over the head of the president. However, it sometimes happens that a law is challenged by a citizen or group of citizens on the ground that it is not constitutional. The court then examines the arguments in the case and decides whether or not the law is in conformity with the Constitution, because the Constitution is the overarching ultimate law of the land. If they deem it is not, they may rule it unconstitutional, and then the legislators must either drop the matter or readdress the questions raised by the court. You follow that? All right, you see, we have a representative government that allows for checks and balances. Now, if the House passes a bill the Senate does not like, the Senate may make revisions, and by this effectively create a new bill and then send it to the House. The House may accept the new bill or make further changes, thereby creating yet another bill and send that back to the Senate, and theoretically this can go on indefinitely. All right, there's one more thing you need to know. The Constitution provides for each chamber of Congress, that is the House and the Senate, to make its own rules of procedure. Or in other words, the House and the Senate can make rules about how bills are presented, in what order, when, and so forth, and whether or not a bill can be filibustered. Now, a filibuster happens when a representative takes the floor during debate over a bill and refuses to yield the floor, which creates a situation where the bill cannot be voted on. The House does not have a filibuster rule, but the Senate does. In the Senate, a filibuster cannot be overruled by a simple majority of senators. It takes what is called a supermajority. The present rule is 3/5 of the senators. And at this time, that means it requires 60 votes in the Senate to break a filibuster. Okay, in the case before us, the House passed a bill that the Senate did not like. The Senate made some changes and worked hard, but barely was able to come up with enough votes to overrule a filibuster and get the Senate Bill number 3200 passed and sent back to the House. At that time, they did have exactly enough votes to overrule a filibuster. They had exactly 60 votes. Anyway, the House of Representatives do not want to accept the Senate bill, and they have many reasons for objecting to it. Some object to it for reasons most of my listeners would agree with. The language that allows for public funding of abortion, mandating that Americans buy insurance whether they want it or not. A few are concerned about the death panel issue. Some object to it because of the dirty backroom deals that have gone on, giving special exceptions to some states, special deals to some states like Nebraska and Louisiana, and special favors to some representatives or representatives like Kucinich, and favoring the unions over other Americans, you know, things like that. Things many people believe, and rightly, are unconstitutional and make the bill vulnerable to a challenge in the courts. In fact, Mark Levin has promised that if the Senate bill passes, he will lead the charge to challenge it in court. Go, Mark. However, You had better realize that this dim-witted controlled Congress essentially objects to this Senate bill because it does not go far enough, in their view, in unpacking communism into our government. I'm not kidding. Most Americans are disgusted by the dirty politicking that has been going on. For example, as you know, the dimwits are pulling all kinds of tricks, like laying a 1,000-plus page bill on representatives' desks and then pushing for a vote on that bill before anyone has had time to read it. They have pulled tricks like refusing to publicly publish the bill 72 hours so the public can see it before it's voted on, just as Obama promised, huh? And they've used threats to get the votes they needed to pass. Well, actually, every version of this bill so far has been passed by strong-arm tactics coming down from the White House and from Pelosi and from Reid in the Senate. It's been outrageous how these people have attempted to really ruin our republic, but more on that later. The House did not want to accept the Senate bill, but neither do they want to send another bill to the Senate. Why? Well, because now the Senate no longer has a guaranteed 60 votes to pass a health care bill, and they barely got the last one passed. They're afraid their whole thing will die in the Senate, and this is because Brown took the Kennedy seat in a special election, remember? Now, what is the House going to do? And this is where we come to the wicked business that is going on right now in the House. Pelosi is trying to find a way to get around exposing her bill to the need for 60 votes in the Senate, 60 votes they do not have. And this is where the special rule of reconciliation comes in. What is a reconciliation bill? Well, as you can see, passing laws can be a very arduous process. And it is understandable that there would be resistance to starting that process all over again on a bill that has general agreement in both houses in order simply to correct relatively minor but important technical issues that are raised by one or another chamber. A reconciliation bill is used to address these sorts of differences. To reconcile it, in other words, it has been used for budget issues and when the two chambers are in general agreement. So, after a bill is passed, another one is created, called a reconciliation bill, that addresses the problems that are discovered in the bill that was passed. But Pelosi wants to use it to get around the need for 60 votes in the Senate, you see? She wants to use it as a political tactic to circumvent Senate rules. And here's how that works. The House passes the Senate bill, even though they don't like it. But then, before they send it to the president for his signature, they create and pass another bill that effectively corrects what they object to in the Senate bill. As an example, let's say the Senate bill provides no funding for abortion from taxpayer money, and the House wants taxpayer-funded abortions, so in a reconciliation bill, they reverse this and say the bill does cover abortions. Now, perhaps you'll say, well, doesn't the reconciliation bill, like any other bill, have to be passed by the Senate, and won't the minority party filibuster, and will not this cause the Senate to need 60 votes, and you said they don't have 60 votes, and yeah, but listen, the Senate has a special rule that says a reconciliation bill cannot be filibustered. And this means the Senate can pass it by a simple majority. Are you beginning to see what's going on? However, another problem developed for Pelosi. She cannot find enough votes in the House to pass the Senate bill, even with her promise of a reconciliation bill to follow. Why? Because the people are crying out in huge numbers, kill the bill, kill the bill. Because they get it, man. They know it's a bad bill, and they object to being dictated to by Obama, Pelosi, and Reid. So what will Pelosi do? Her House Rules Committee chairperson is Louise Slaughter, Democrat, New York. She has suggested using something called deeming. Technically, it's the self-executing rule, in order to get around having to actually vote on the health bill itself. Can you believe this? Let me explain. Back in 1933, under FDR, the Congress wanted to lift the debt ceiling so that FDR could spend us out of the Depression. Well, what he did was extend and actually expand the Depression, but more on that another time. To get this done against the wishes of the minority party at that time, yeah, the Republicans, who believed this action would effectively render it impossible to control the national debt in the future, how prescient of them, shed enough light in the public on what they were doing to cause those dimwits at that time to be concerned about being publicly identified with this vote on that bill. You know, a little job security issue developed there, as has developed now. Remember November? So the House came up with a clever ruse. They created another bill, and they called it something or another rule, and they had the House vote on a rule. However, buried in the language of the rule was a statement that if that rule was accepted, it would deem the controversial bill as passed. Now, what are they up to here? Well, you see, the Constitution provides for journaling the votes of every member of Congress for public scrutiny. The Constitution says 1/5 of the members present can require every member's vote to be recorded in the Congressional Journal for public view. Now, the journal does not record the language of the bill, only its title. So in the journal, it would say this or that member voted for a House rule, when in fact what they were voting for was that bill. Lousy liars. So you see, because Pelosi believes that the reason many of her fellow dimwits are balking at accepting her plot to circumvent the Constitution by political trickery is that they fear political repercussions in November. She is offering to them a way to hide their vote from the people and give them a weasel way to say when they're candidating they did not vote for the Senate bill, when in truth they actually did. And their opponents have to go through the complicated task of explaining this to the public. And as you can see, it's not an easy explanation. Okay, I got to conclude today's show. Sometimes there's just not enough time. Anyway, here's the point. While the Constitution does allow the House and Senate to make these rules, and it is arguable that these shenanigans are in conformity with the letter of the law, who does not see that all of this is contrary to the spirit of the law? It is obvious. The spirit of the Constitution is to protect the people from the spirit of tyranny. Tyranny tramples on the people's rights, and in America, the people have a right to know what their representatives are doing, especially when passing laws that put financial and legal burdens on their backs. You will hear folks like Dorf and Obama and others talk about, well, the majority rules. Isn't it interesting that they talk about the legitimacy of the rule of the majority in the Congress, but they ignore that fact when they're confronted with the reality that a majority of Americans don't want this bill? They are liars. Anyway, as I close, think about this. Clearly, the spirit of the Constitution is to protect the people from the spirit of tyranny. And right now, the spirit of tyranny is destroying our representative republic. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. All God-hating antichrist, live-fibbing dimwits are hereby warned. I'm about to quote from the book upon which our founders built this nation. Quote, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, end quote. The spirit operating in Congress today is not the spirit that operated in our founders. Theirs was the spirit of liberty today. The antichrist spirit of tyranny reigns in the House. It is time to clean house. So remember, in November, I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And give me a lights on if you agree and lights off if you disagree. You can reach me by email. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the Contact Us button and write a message to me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.